21st of March 2016, and you're listening to Monday Morning Meetings on Migration, a conversation about migration and politics at the University of Amsterdam. I'm Darshan Vigneshwaran, and today we have our first audio rejoinder. Last month, Francois Bonnet spoke on the podcast about the Cologne attacks. He argued that Cologne was a major blow to the feminist left in Europe, and encouraged us to see the police response to the violence as an act of performing non-racism. Now, a number of Francois' colleagues have offered to engage with his provocative ideas, and today we're proud to hand the mic to Kendra Breakin of the University of Strathclyde. Kendra starts by giving us an insider perspective of what it has been like to be a German national abroad during this tumultuous period, and then she dovetails into a feminist and anti-racist critique of Francois' position. We hope you enjoy.
I moved to Glasgow 18 months ago, and ever since I'm in the department, there's constantly people asking me, like, oh yeah, you're from Germany, so tell me, what's the best beer? What's the best food? What's the best German food in Glasgow? As if this wouldn't be a contradiction in itself. And so I realized over time how funny it is that you become the kind of ambassador, if you want it or not. It became slightly more interesting and serious for me when over the last year Angela Merkel did this famous thing, telling everybody, wir schaffen das, we're gonna do it, yes we can. And she meant that no, we won't close our borders. Whatever happened ever since, and honestly, I'm not the biggest fan of many parts of her politics. However, what happened at that time is that the people took over, that many people in Germany really got involved, tried to help others coming in. And it was massive, and it is still massive. And so my colleagues knocked on my door and asked, well, Kendra, well, how could that be? That's naive to think that you can manage you Germans. You can't. That's a project that has to fail at some point. So it was no surprise to me when the news about Cologne spread in the UK media that it was actually the same colleagues standing in my door. And honestly, you couldn't decide whether they were like smiling or were claiming to feel pity. But there was this kind of relief in their faces, this kind of pale male academia finally feeling reassured. See how they are, the others. And it was actually striking to see how the middle class Western European academia built a not very subtle coalition with the victim. It was actually the same men, by the way, that are not estranged the slightest by everyday sexism or by the official numbers of everyday rape or by domestic violence. And this is actually one point I want to add to Francois' argument. His idea is that modern feminists made the best contribution in showing that no, it's not all Arabs / migrants that are going to rape women whenever they can. It's just some stupid blokes, like Francois framed it slightly sloppily, I think. And here's the deal. I think if you really want to overcome racism, you can easily reframe this idea. And this is what actually happened in Germany. Some feminist political activists tried to turn the debate and did a very convincing thing. They reframed the debate and said, no, it's not only just some blokes, but, you know, it's men. And if you think about the everyday sexism that's going on, no matter if they're from any Arab country or not, what the victim's experience has nothing to do with any cultural idea on how to treat women. In other words, violence against women is part and parcel of the capitalist mode of production. So the simple question would be, why not discuss gender relations, power relations, or social inequalities instead of ethnic slash racial backgrounds? This actually leads me to my second point, which is, as I mentioned earlier on, is slightly more connected to what I did research-wise. François mentions the role of the police, and he assumes that the police were slightly reluctant to release all what happened over New Year's Eve, precisely because they didn't want to increase kind of racist atmosphere. First of all, I mean, I'm really questioning if the delay is due to this idea of, oh, the police is so overly concerned about what's going on in society, so if they could release it or not. Because we know that it is really hard for women to get a file in when it comes to rape or assault, like we heard about from the Cologne Knights. Most of the time, women are still either too drunk, or their skirt is too short, or, hey, come on, it's New Year's night, and who wouldn't give a kiss to a stranger anyways outside? This we will not find out, I'm sure. However, what was striking me when I listened to François was that when he was talking about his research about how the police actually performed being non-racist, like his research shows. He later on says that whether police are actually racist or not, that this would not be an issue for him, but for psychoanalysts. And honestly, I would argue exactly the opposite. I would say no. It's police officers, and it's of high relevance to know whether they're actually racist or not. And no, I don't want to dig deeper into their brains if they're racist or not. It is about their everyday routine interactions that I would be concerned whether they're racist or not. We know for sure that over the last decades, most Western European police learned or did their homework, meaning that, yes, there was lots of programs and projects to make sure that police officers are more aware about race relations in society. In Germany, as well as in France, as well as in the UK, and that's what my research shows, there was a huge effort made to integrate officers from different ethnic backgrounds, or black officers, to allow precisely this, that the police in itself would overcome its institutional racism. So what we can actually see is that at the moment, police forces know how to tick the boxes. They know how to perform non-racist behavior. But at the same time, we know from research that is done in France, for example, by Christian Mohana or Didier Fassin, in Germany by Jenny Kunkel and Volker Eick and myself, and by lots of others in the UK, we know institutional racism has not yet ended. It is still there. It is obvious, it's evident. And from what I would say is that with the introduction of new public management or new police management, which basically means kind of economization of the monopoly of force, it even becomes worse, since now it is much easier to tick the boxes and to get your targets in. If you just precisely follow the cliché, do racial profiling, do stop and search, focusing on black people. And yes, agreed,
there might be the good cops in the world. However, and this is why I not want to leave this to a psychoanalyst, but think we really need to be concerned about this as activists and in academia, again, is precisely because of the power relation. Police officers still have the powers to frame situations and social interactions according to their own interests. I think it should not be forgotten that the founding, or one of the founding principles of Western European police forces, was to save private property and to fight militant action done by the working classes. So in case you are wondering, like I am wondering, whether we can overcome an institutional racism in the, near future, my question would be, how can we actually overcome policing the poor and instead police the privileged?
You've been listening to Kendra Breakin's response to Francois Bonnet on Monday Morning Meetings on Migration. We can be accessed at 4mpodcast.com and through iTunes. You can also sign up for updates through our Twitter and Facebook accounts. If you have suggestions about a story you'd like us to feature or would like to post an audio rejoinder to something that has been said on a previous podcast, please send us an email at imes@uva.nl.